Welcome to Yarning Disability, the FPDN podcast. I'm your host, Bernard Namok Jr. I'm a proud St. Paul Badu and Caribbean man from the Torres Strait. And I'm also the son of the designer of the Torres Strait Islander flag, Bernard Namok Sr., and an advocate for the First Peoples Disability Network. Join me now on Yarning Disability as we showcase First Nations people living with a disability, as well as their families and carers, and other industry professionals.
Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people are warned that the following podcast may contain the voices and names of people who are deceased. The First Peoples Disability Network and the producers of this podcast recognise the traditional custodians of the land on which this podcast is recorded. They pay respect to the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander elders past, present, and the future leaders of tomorrow. FPDN would like to acknowledge our founding elders and their lasting legacy, Uncle Lester Bostock and Auntie Gal Rankin, and acknowledge all First Peoples living with a disability.
I don't care who sees me in a wheelchair. I don't care who sees me being openly disabled or stumbling on my words or forgetting things or whatever. Like, I've got a reason for that, and I'm not ashamed of that, and there should be no shame about it.
I don't get caught up on labels of disability, impairments, whatever it is. It's just, and that's just who they are. And that's whether it's considered a strength or a weakness, we don't see that. You know, that's just their identity. My country.
You have to fight. We fight the system. This is what we want. Hear our
stories. Welcome to the last episode of Yarning Disability. I'm joined by FPDN advocate Carly Wallace. Carly, what a year. How are you feeling?
Oh, thanks, Bernard, for having me. You would have heard me this season. For the listeners, I contributed to the podcast, and what a season it's been, right? It's just been a crazy year of stories, listening and learning. But what's been some of your favourite episodes?
I reckon one of my favourite episodes, and it actually took me to the place, actually, and you know which one I'm talking about, because we mentioned the beach, we mentioned Ball of Prawns, and we mentioned some music.
Okay. Are you talking about the Nancy Bates?
Yes.
Bernard, being a Torres Strait Islander man, you love the episode. But that's the power, right, of these stories, of being able to share that yarn and then being taken to a place where you can both be on that beach where you're sharing and sitting down. I think particularly love the episode that you did with Nancy. That was one of my favourites, but I think, yeah, her sharing the stories, you know, of our women in prison and the work that she does with, you know, using music as the tool to connect, and for these women, a lot of them with disabilities or children with disabilities, to be able to share their stories in their way. I really love that. I also love the episode that you did with Aunty Abigail Harry, who's from Yermalin and the Torres Straits, and the passion that Aunty Abigail had, you know, for the Torres Straits, for accessibility, for human rights. I loved that episode. And I think, like, my favorite episode, one of my favorite episodes, was yarning to good brother of mine, Joe Williams. He shared his very personal story of living with psychosocial disabilities, with bipolar. And yeah, it was just really powerful to be able to create a platform for these stories this year. So well done on a great season, Bernard, but I'm sure we're going to take a look back at some of the episodes.
Yeah, well, let's take a look back now. The light. This season on Yarning Disability, we heard from parents who advocate for the human rights of their children with disabilities every day.
You have to be present all the time for your kids. And it's like a kid's just had a meltdown and you've still got to be in control. And some days it's like, oh, like it really feels like an uphill battle. So for ADHD to not be on the list for NDIS is, and it makes it really challenging.
In terms of the Noonan syndrome, that's really new. So once we were told that was what it was, it kind of like just it was like a bit of relief, you know, in terms of we finally found something that it seemed like all these random things were happening to him. And once we got that diagnosis, first thing, you know, worst thing and best thing, jump on Google, see what it's all about. Yeah. And it kind of just made sense for us. And was like, okay, well, you know, this kind of places him. And, you know, we can kind of see a way forward, if that makes sense.
I'm just that damaged from the things that have happened. Like my youngest child is blue haired. He doesn't have blue hair. He has blonde hair, yeah. Blue eyes. And so walking down the street, I say to him, I'd tell him the truth and say, they would have taken you from me because your skin looks so different to mine. Like, they would have taken you from me. And it's almost like I feel a sense of duty to tell them and to educate them about these things that happened, because I think everybody should know.
We also heard about the systems that create barriers for our mob with disabilities, including the health system, the justice system, and the education system, just to name a few.
You know, if I wasn't the strong black woman that I am, that would have been enough to either send me to the madhouse or kill myself. And that's putting it nicely. It was horrific to see the way that it was so insensitive. No support. Like, I would love to be able to see resources available at the hospital. You know, disabilities increasing on the daily. You know, there's so many different diagnoses. Speak our
language. Privileged, for starters. Inspired. I feel stronger. I feel more passionate. I feel fire in my belly grows. It is distressing, you know, like the hardest bit is leaving women behind, and I can come home and women are going through a lot, you know, people, you know, they're trying to navigate keeping connected to their children, and they're the strongest women I know, the most incredible women I know, and I know some bloody incredible women, you know, and I just feel deeply, and I feel compelled to do whatever I can, until my last breath.
I am free. I made the decision as his grandmother, I'm going to take him out of here. I'm going to give him the best school, even though if it's going to make me work hard here and go down to Cairns and work hard and come back to Tioi, because I have to do that as a grandmother. Nobody else is going to do it. So this is what we do as Indigenous people. We do it for our children. Even though we struggle, but, you know, we try to make ends meet.
FPDN staff also shared their stories on Yarning Disability this season.
Well, Uncle Lester Bostock is a hero, really, of the movement of Mob with Disability. He, amongst many things that he achieved in his life, he was the person who highlighted, for the first time, really, what was known, what he called the double disadvantage of mob with disability. So the fact that many First Nations people with disability experience discrimination based upon their race and disability was something that he talked about way back in the 1990s. So he was an absolute fearless advocate and a man with disability himself, who also knew personally some of the challenges that many mob with disability faced.
You know, how remote the communities are. So, of course, these issues get deeper, you know, the more remote our communities are, of course, as well, because there's less of a presence, obviously, of information landing on the ground in those communities.
I think our strategy with here is, yeah, getting a representative or community representative in first and maybe engaging them, educating them about what we're trying to do and the training that we're trying to deliver, and then asking them to assist us with the training delivery within the community so that we can assure that the information is, you know, received properly instead of and actually fully understood any of the information we're trying to share. It is hard, especially working in communities like this, when we're trying to talk about human rights, but across the board we can see just by coming in here that there's so many human rights barriers that aren't being addressed in these communities. So it is a very hard one, and we want to be able to do the best job we can.
We also heard about the importance of inclusion and belonging.
I think the main thing is, yeah, definitely if you have those inclinations or concerns about your mental health, don't be ashamed. And it doesn't have to necessarily be someone professional as such, you know. Start by having an honest yarn with, you know, your close mates and talking to them honestly about things and how it's impacting you and how you're feeling. But there's certainly plenty of like grassroots kind of support that are trying to do that kind of thing and fill that gap as well.
You know, just like that sun that'll get up tomorrow, you wake up, you'll breathe, you'll reach out for some sustenance in life, would it be something to eat or a habit that you've got. It's important to participate in what life has on offer, because you really have a window and an opportunity that only comes once in a lifetime, and having a disability should never stop you. Just find your own strategies of getting around tasks and fulfilling your dreams to be satisfied with who you are in the end of the day.
Uncle Paul Gordon down from Bree Warren this way, and he talks to a really simple fact that there were no castles, there were no forts, and there were no fences. And people can look at that and go, well, that's because you weren't smart enough to build them. To me, it tells a story, and how he explains it so beautifully is that fences keep people out. So it tells you that we're a people who built relationships. And if you look at the documentation from, just say, the Bree Warrina fish traps, right? The earlier records of Bree Warrina fish traps had people and mobs from everywhere. So it tells you that we didn't come together and flog the guts out of each other. We come together and we shared resource and we shared relationships.
That's some of the voices that we heard on this season of Yarning Disability.
And hey, Bernard, what a range of voices, stories. And we just want to say, on behalf of the Yarning Disability team and FPDN, thank you so much to everybody who contributed to the podcast this season. We have learned so much, and we really appreciate all your stories and your time.
See you next season. If there's anything you heard in today's episode that raises concerns for you, there is help available. You can contact 13 Yarn on 13 92 76 or Beyond Blue on 1300 22 4636 or Lifeline on 13 11 14. Thanks for listening to Yarning Disability. I'm your host, Bernard Namok Jr. Follow FPDN on our social media accounts to stay up to date with future episodes and information. You can also visit our website at www.fpdn.org.au. Kirairi, kirairi te kapa.